Well, it's another week, it's another day, it's another Wednesday, and I'm excited to welcome you back to another episode of the Therapy Room podcast. In case you didn't know, or you somehow forgot, although I'm struggling to imagine a time and a space where I'm ever forgotten, I'm your friend Zip. The support you have shown me on this last episode is nothing short of amazing, and I wanted to start off this episode by acknowledging you and to reiterate my gratitude for anyone and everyone who has invited me into their space. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to make this episode. My body image issues is something I've never talked about publicly because it's quite a deep wound that I have never fully dived into, which is, I guess, why I'm gathering the courage to talk about it today. I've never been formally diagnosed with body dysmorphia, so the title of this podcast may be a bit misleading. However, I have found that my feelings and emotions do line up with the sentiment behind this mental disorder. And it's weird for me to think about potentially having a mental disorder because it's never crossed my mind before. The issues that I have with my body have almost always been present, and although I think it's easy to point the blame only at society, for me and in my perspective, I like to think that I had an equal role to play in my own perception of myself. Because ultimately, anything could happen in your outside reality, but it's labels that we place on that event that shape our perception and our beliefs. And so I would like that to be the window in which we look at my story, a series of events that happened that triggered me and that ultimately led me to create this belief system that has inflicted a lot of damage to my self-esteem. As I mentioned, my body issues started when I was quite young. I would say at least by the time I hit fourth grade. As with most things, when you are a kid, you don't really realize or fully comprehend the sometimes subliminal messages that weave their way into your psyche and become attached to you to the point where these beliefs and thoughts become an aspect of who you are. My mom has always been super thin. But I want to make it absolutely clear that I love and adore my mom, and so I don't blame her for anything. She did the best she could, and she was perfect even in the perceived imperfections, as we all are. My mom has always been very thin, and I think when she was growing up, she was kind of teased for it, especially in high school. I think a lot of that has probably came from jealousy or competition or whatever was happening in the 70s. But what I'm trying to get at is I think it became attached to her self-worth in a way. Like she would kind of wear like a badge of honor. So when I was growing up, she would make comments as simple as, "I look skinny in this," or "I look good with my tiny waist." Or she would constantly check herself in the mirror to check to see if she wasn't gaining too much weight. And when I was a kid, I started off pretty thin, but I started to gain a bit of weight around puberty, and my mom wouldn't always tell me I needed to lose weight. And she never called me fat, but there was this sort of indirect messaging that a part of her value was how thin she was, and since I wasn't as thin as she was, I didn't have as much value. Again, she never outright told me that, but these are the conclusions I came to in my mind. It wasn't something that I thought about daily, both time and with the insecurities and self-hate I was developing for myself, my body image would be quickly grabbed and used as validation for why I wasn't good enough. And so by the time I entered middle school, my body issues had grown from a seed to a sprout. I remember this one time when I was on the basketball team in maybe seventh grade, my friend Lacey, who you might remember from the last podcast as the girl I first fell in love with, her dad was actually the coach of the team we were playing on, which really wasn't that strange because I went to a really small school. And I remember her dad kind of pulling me off to the side and being like, you know what, Sapora, you could stand to lose a couple pounds. Or you could stand to lose some weight. And I'm sure at the time, he really didn't think much of that comment. But for me, it was pretty embarrassing. I mean, not only was an older male making a comment about how my body looked, unsolicited, he was also my best friend's dad, who I saw all the time. And so it was hugely embarrassing for me, and I felt a lot of shame. And the shame I felt kind of developed into the secret weapon that I wouldn't use on my enemies, but rather on myself. And when I told Lacey what her dad had said to me, she was very apologetic and sad that her dad had said something like that. But I think I'll always remember that moment as kind of the catalyst for that sprout of self-hating body issues developing into a full-blown tree monster. Because from that moment on, and especially around that group of people, whenever I went to a party or an event, or even just hanging out with friends, the shame surrounding my body would follow. I would obsess over how I looked and if I was attractive or worthy of attention. I began to consistently attach my worth to my desirability. And that became more evident when I would go clothes shopping at the mall with my mom. I had kind of developed a phobia about trying clothes on for multiple reasons. One of the more prominent reasons was because at the time I wanted to dress in more masculine, quote unquote, masculine clothing and didn't feel comfortable telling my mom that or even coming to terms with it myself. And also I had issues just trying on clothes in the dressing room. There were countless times where I would find something I liked and be disappointed that I didn't fit into that size that I wanted to fit into. Not only would I be disappointed, but I would often cry in dressing rooms and my mood for that day or that week would be tarnished, which contributed to my overall base level of depression that started to develop and would stay with me well into college. When I was 17, I went to the doctor, and I'm sure you can guess what kind of happened next. I went to the doctor and she told me that I was overweight and that I needed to lose like 30 pounds or whatever it was at the time. And I was so upset about it that I went home and I wrote a poem. And poetry is usually how I get my more intense emotions out. And I remember this feeling of shame coming up and feeling disappointed in myself. That I couldn't control this aspect of my physical appearance that seemed so easy for everyone else. It became a thing about morality, which is wild, because it became a thing where I didn't see myself as a good person because of my weight gain. This kind of catapulted me into wanting to go to the gym all the time. Not only did I want to go all the time, but I would track all the food I ate, and I'll repeat it in my mind as a kind of a mantra. I know that sounds strange, but throughout the day, I would eat a snack here or there, or I would like eat a meal, and then I would kind of guilt myself for eating by constantly repeating in my mind what I ate, if that makes sense. And I'll be honest, like I still do this quite often, but I'm trying to be more mindful with my thoughts, and through this mindfulness, try to create a space of non-judgment where I can try to break these patterns of abuse I put myself through. A big moment in my life came when I got accepted to grad school and moved out to California. This was something that I've been looking forward to since I was 17. And the fact that it came true was like a highlight of my life, and it still is. But this disrupted my routine of going to the gym and weighing myself every day. But at this point, I had lost quite a bit of weight and was riding that high as well as the excitement of finally moving out of Ohio. However, I think I underestimated how hard it would be for me to adjust to a new environment, a new school, and not having the girl I was seeing around. So while my obsession with my weight kind of went underground, I started nitpicking other aspects of my physical appearance. Whether it be how many pimples I had on my face, or how big my boobs were to how small or large I perceived my head to be at that time in proportion to my body. And I remember that around this time, like I started to bind, chest bind, and it was really affirming for me. But at the same time, the attention behind that was to like to somehow alter my body to look a certain way that I see myself in my mind. And I think there's like a fine line of like doing that with good intention and doing that because you hate your body and you hate who you are. But there came a point in time where I got so stressed out with school and so stressed out with all the work I was doing and the insecurities that were bubbling up for me at the time that my eczema flared up. I actually didn't know I had eczema up until this point. I mean, I would get dry and itchy, but I never connected those dots. So when it flared up, it actually appeared on my scalp, which was like very jarring for me. And I felt so lost. Like here was this like immediate alter to my physical appearance I had no control over, and I had no idea what to do. So I woke up one morning to find that like a patch of hair was missing, and I just freaked out. And I think that like people who know me personally may have a hard time imagining me freaking out, because I'm usually pretty even toned and like chill and I don't know, sarcastic in ways. But in this instance, I was freaking out. I started hyperventilating, crying, and I remember specifically I was just like shouting like inwardly and outwardly at God. And I've never been like a super religious person, but I do believe that there's like a God presence and that like that we are always supported in this life and with love and support, even though we may not be able to actually see that. But yeah, I was screaming at God, asking him why he would create me so ugly. And to say that is wild, because I mean, if someone came up to me and was like, "Oh, Sephora, do you think you're ugly?" I'd be like, "No, I don't think I'm ugly." But like, in the privacy of my own mind, my own like, I don't know, in my own shadow, I would be like, "Yeah, I'm pretty ugly," And I was just asking, like, why I had to deal with yet another thing when I was already stressed to the max as it was. There was just a lot of pressure to do well in school, to make friends, to prove my worth. And even though that, like, totally changed or destroyed my confidence in myself, I can recognize it as a kind of pivotal moment in my life where everything was just falling apart. And I like to think that it was falling apart for me to have a chance and opportunity to rebuild in a way that was more solid and more wholesome and for my benefit. And at the time, I was still with my girlfriend, and she was definitely a lifesaver at this time in my life. And she was as supportive as she could be, given the circumstances, and given that we were so far apart. Which actually brings me to another aspect of the self-loathing I have for my body. When I moved to California, me and my girl, let's just call her Jade, we obviously weren't having sex, and so she had suggested that we would just swap nudes. And I remember that when I was with her, I was already so self-conscious of how my body looked naked. And so I had to get to this high level of trust with her before we ever had sex. And if you've ever seen me naked, which I'm not sure you really want to, but I don't know, maybe there's someone out there who does. yeah, if you ever see me naked, you would just see like a shit ton of stretch marks. And even now, I still get so fucked up about it. And I remember the instance where I started to notice in my body. I went to Jamaica for like 2 weeks when I was like, I don't know, in my early teens or whatever. And I literally just sat on the beach all day and like ate like continuously. And I didn't have a care in the world. I was like, whatever, I'm just going to eat. I'm just going to have fun. And like, whatever, like what a kid would think when they were on vacation, you know? But there came a time, maybe like a week or two in or a week and a half in, when I started noticing like stretch marks appearing on my body. And I was like, kind of freaking out because I'm like, well, mom, are they going to go away? Like, is this going to be part of my whole life? And, they were definitely a part of my whole life. and there's something I've always seen them as like a blemish and not something anyone would find sexy or attractive. I mean, I could be having sex with someone and the only thing in my mind is wondering if she finds me sexy or if I turn her on, which is crazy because, I mean, we are about to have sex. So I would assume if we've gotten that far, then she does find me attractive in that way. So yeah, I agreed to do the pics, and I spent a lot of time just like editing, not editing really, but just like trying to get the perfect like shot. And like, because at this point my confidence was kind of shot even within my relationship, because we were on like rocky grounds and I wanted to make sure that I was still attractive and I was still attaching my self-worth and my, like, why would someone want to be with me if I wasn't like hot or like I didn't turn them on? And so like I tried to do everything I could to like not only hang on to this relationship that was falling apart, but to validate my body. And to her credit, she initially was just like, I'll just do the pictures and then you can just like have them. But I felt weird about that, and I felt weird about not reciprocating, so I did. But it's also, like, weird to think about that relationship, even though I feel like I referenced it a lot in my day-to-day life, or even so far in this podcast. And we were definitely mirrors of each other, and she was definitely, like, the biggest teacher for me at the time. And what I mean to say is that the body issues that I faced, she also faced, just in different ways. She was a sexual assault survivor, and she was also recovering anorexic. So for this being my first like relationship where I had any real feelings or emotions, or and it was pretty long term, it was a lot for me to handle. But I kind of put my own emotional trauma aside for her emotional trauma. And it became a point where, like, I was just her crutch. And like, she was mine. Because when I was with her, I didn't have to think about my own shit, you know? So, yeah, there's this very heavy emotional trauma held within her body and her mind. And I think I buried a lot of my issues to tend to hers. And sometimes I think about what type of person I was to attract that in my life. Because I believe that everything that shows up in our reality is a reflection of our internal state of being. I know that there are a lot of people that deal with, if not body dysmorphia specifically, then definitely body issues. Whether it be because we are bombarded with societal body ideals through the media or through our family. And I'm not gonna lie, this is an ongoing issue for me. And every day I poke at my body and ask if it's enough. but I'm also trying to discover if I can embrace the body that Mother Earth has birthed into existence. Can I accept the soul vessel that is my body that God has given me? And to be honest, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just a work in progress, and I hope to get to a point in my life where I just love myself so much that whatever I look like, whether I gain weight or lose weight, I will always love myself. My love will never be conditional. I think it's important to look at the past and have some understanding on how you've gotten to where you are. But I think it's equally important, if not more important, to be in the present and to feel your pain. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm just trying to braid myself together so I can be strong, so I can feel whole and complete, so I can love myself, not just mentally, but physically. And I also recognize that I'm just one in a million. And I'm sure that lots of people deal with these issues, and I've had similar experiences. But I think it's our job to uplift those around us, and more importantly, lift ourselves up, because we have always been worthy of our love. And I think that's all I have for you guys today. I recognize that this is a shorter episode, but I just wanted to keep it to the point. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting me. Tune in next Wednesday for a new episode. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but I'm sure it's going to be great. And just remember to be kind to yourself.